Welcome to Unit 3, Reliability, Culture of Safety, and HIT. The objectives of Unit 3 are to discuss the notion of reliability science as a tool for ensuring safe quality healthcare, to examine how ultra-safe organizations operate, and to identify how teams make wise decisions.
We can learn lessons from the Navy with respect to reliability and culture of safety. Please take a moment to watch the video that is provided by your instructor.
Reliability science allows us to improve the consistent and standard delivery of high-quality, safe health care. We're continually evaluating our care, calculating overall reliability of that care, and improving our structures, processes, and outcomes. The Institute for Healthcare Improvement has done a lot of work with reliability in healthcare quality improvement. They define reliability science as the measurable ability of a health-related process, procedure, or service to perform its intended function in the required time under commonly occurring conditions. To compensate for human limitations, the IHI framework employs a three-tiered strategy. The first line of defense is to prevent the failure from occurring in the first place. This includes putting best practices at the fingertips of the clinician, increasing awareness, providing memory aids and checklists, and configuring the system in such a way as to make the desired action the default. As an IT professional, you will be asked to assist in these efforts using technology to support these aims. For example, you might be asked to recommend IT solutions to prompt clinicians to ensure that they implement the ventilator bundle for all mechanically ventilated patients. A bundle is a group of interventions for particular patient populations that, when executed together, result in better outcomes than when implemented individually. The ventilator bundle requires that we elevate the head of the bed of the patient 30 degrees, then we have daily vacations from sedation and assessment of the patient's readiness to extubate, measures to prevent stomach ulcers and blood clots, and daily mouth care. Providing each element of care within a bundle leads to more reliable care for patients. Your assistance in finding the best ways to remind clinicians of these measures within the electronic health record will be invaluable. The second line of defense is to identify and mitigate failure. There's a growing body of evidence that clinicians are distracted and interrupted constantly during the course of care, and that they can grow fatigued during prolonged shifts. Fatigue and distraction can impede them from preventing failures. HIT offers a variety of options for reducing the impact of failure, such as standing orders for best practice treatments that can be altered only with written authorization, flags and warnings that notify the clinician when an undesirable event is impending, such as drug-drug interaction flags, and configuring the electronic record to accommodate the need for documentation of independent double checks. Finally, high reliability organizations redesign for success. They understand where the failure in the system is occurring through analytic methods such as root cause analyses and determine the remedy. It's absolutely critical that we understand where the failure is occurring so that we can figure out the remedy. You may have heard early reports of a particular brand of automobile that was accelerating suddenly when their drivers insisted that they were in parking gear. Some of these runaway cars killed or injured people, so the manufacturers redesigned their gearboxes so that the cars couldn't be taken out of park unless the driver's foot was on the brake. Even if the driver is confused, the car will not let him make a mistake. Just think how many more people would have been injured or killed if the company had decided to argue incessantly about who or what was at fault. High reliability organizations survive in complex environments that depend on multi-team systems that must coordinate their respective activities for safety. The safety of a hospitalized patient is dependent on the effective coordination of all members of the healthcare team. When working on IT projects, this team includes you as the HIT professional. High reliability organizations are also tightly coupled. That is, team members depend on tasks across the entire team. Roles are very clearly defined and differentiated in high reliability organizations. Intense coordination is required for the team to work cohesively. There is no I, only we. Complete reliance on the team is the hallmark of high reliability organizations. Decisions are made by the person with the most direct expertise, not necessarily the team leader. There are multiple decision makers in high reliability organizations. Therefore, processes must be in place to allow these decision makers to communicate with each other. High reliability organizations have complex communication networks. Because they have a high degree of accountability, when errors occur, there are severe consequences. It's not always easy to differentiate patients who die from error from those whose deaths were inevitable due to the course of their disease. People in high reliability organizations need frequent, immediate feedback. This is essential to anticipate and avert problems before they become crises. Finally, high reliability organizations have compressed time constraints that pose challenges. There are five concepts that create the sense of mindfulness that is essential for reliability. Mindfulness is the constant awareness that things can and will go wrong. The slide depicts a flowchart with four columns. The first column is titled Specific Considerations. Five concepts are listed in the column: sensitivity to operations, preoccupation with failure, deference to expertise, resilience, and reluctance to simplify. The concepts flow into the second column, titled General Orientation. There's a sunburst in the center of the column with the word State of Mindfulness. This flows into the third column, titled Impact on Processes. There is a check mark in the center of the column with the words High Reliability. This flows into the fourth column, titled Ultimate Outcome. In the center are the words Exceptionally Safe, Consistently High Quality Care. Reliable teams demonstrate sensitivity to operations, are preoccupied with failure, defer to expertise, are resilient, and are reluctant to simplify issues. These attributes are necessary to achieve safe, high-quality care. While it may not sound like a good thing to be preoccupied with failure, such attentiveness allows teams to pick up on near misses or to identify potentially risky situations. They prepare for failure by learning to perform quick situational assessments, working effectively as a team that defers to expertise, and practicing responses to system failures. Sensitivity to operations includes more than just checks of patient identity, vital signs, and medications. It includes awareness by staff, supervisors, and management of broader issues that can affect patient care, ranging from how long a person has been on duty, to the availability of needed supplies, to potential distractions. The slide depicts a drawing of a man in a hospital bed, surrounded by three staff members. The following objects in the room are circled: the face of one doctor, the folder in the doctor's hand, a clipboard, a cabinet, a monitor, pills and a glass of water on a table, an infusion bag, a clock face, then the identification tag on the patient's wrist. Oversimplifying explanations for how things work risks developing unworkable solutions and failing to understand all the ways in which a system may fail, placing a patient at risk. This slide depicts a drawing of a humorous production line. A gloved hand is pushing a squirrel holding a nut. There are many levers, pulleys, weights, hammers, and balls. The goal of the production line is not clear. A preoccupation with failure means that near misses are viewed as invitations to improve, rather than as proof that a system has enough checks to prevent a catastrophic failure. This slide depicts the drawing of a car that has run off the road and is on the edge of a cliff. One passenger is thinking, "Wow, that was close. Glad we had good brakes." The other passenger is thinking, "Wow, that was close. We almost died." In many situations, different staff members, as well as the patient and family, may have information essential to providing ideal care. Deference to expertise entails recognizing the knowledge available from each person and deferring to whoever's expertise is most relevant to the choices being made. This slide depicts the drawing of a woman in a hospital bed, surrounded by three staff members and a family member. The nurse is thinking, "She's getting weaker." The doctor is thinking, "Several complications could explain this." The pharmacist is thinking, "Some meds could be interacting." The husband is thinking, "She's upset about going to a nursing home." A good boater never leaves the dock without preparing for many situations that are unlikely but possible. Oars, pump, life jacket, and fire extinguisher ensure that the boater can quickly respond to unexpected system failures. This slide depicts a man in a small motorboat. The man is wearing a life jacket, and the boat is equipped with a life buoy, fire extinguisher, oars, and a pump. The man has developed resilience. I'd like to say a bit about culture. Culture is the shared perceptions of the individuals within the team or organization about what is good, right, important, valued, supported, or expected at any given time. Over time, we've seen a shift in the culture of healthcare from one of blame to a culture of safety. I remember vividly the first time I made a medication error. I don't know how it happened. Maybe I was in too much of a hurry. Maybe I was tired. Maybe I got distracted. Whatever. I gave the drug to the wrong patient, something I always swore I never would do. Maybe I shouldn't have become a nurse. I was lucky this time because the patient didn't have a bad reaction to the drug, but what if it happens again? How could I be so careless? Mistakes hurt. Not only the person at the sharp end of the mistake, but also the person who makes the mistake. In times past, the focus was immediately on blame. Who made the mistake? What was wrong with that nurse or that doctor? What was wrong with me? Blame significantly limits our ability and the ability of others to learn from our mistakes. When we are blamed, we stop talking about the mistake. The quieter we become, the less we can learn. The less we learn, the less we have an opportunity to improve conditions that may have contributed to the error. And when we leave conditions as they were, mistakes continue, and someone else will be blamed. Fortunately, healthcare is making great strides to shift from a culture of blame to a culture of safety. No one wins the blame game. We don't learn from our mistakes if we play this game. Therefore, we'll continue to make errors. And blaming behaviors completely drive self-reporting of errors underground. While no blame is the appropriate stance for many errors, certain errors do seem blameworthy and demand accountability. This has led to the concept of a just culture. A just culture focuses on identifying and addressing systems issues that lead individuals to engage in unsafe behaviors while maintaining individual accountability by establishing zero tolerance for reckless behavior. It distinguishes between human error, or a slip, at-risk behavior, or taking a shortcut to get something done, and reckless behavior, ignoring required safety steps. In contrast to an overarching no-blame approach, still favored by some, in a just culture, the response to an error or near miss is predicated on the type of behavior associated with the error and not on the severity of the event. For example, reckless behaviors such as refusing to perform a timeout prior to surgery would merit punitive action, even if patients were not harmed. You can help to promote a culture of safety. First, accept responsibility for ensuring patient safety. Value learning from mistakes. Often, HIT designs need to be reconfigured when the current configuration does not support patient safety. Learn to recognize risky behaviors in others and in yourself. Speak up if you see that something is not right. Perhaps someone is using the electronic health record in a way that differs from the intent. Speak up and provide information to that individual so that they understand the way in which the system was designed. Listen to them and discuss ways to prevent error. Take action to reduce risk. Report errors and near misses that come to your attention. Encourage others to do the same. Help change unrealistic policies or rules. There are two extremely important characteristics of a culture of safety. They typify the attributes of high reliability organizations by requiring a high degree of mindfulness, teamwork, and communication. First, all people must listen carefully to concerns to determine if corrective action is necessary. Second, every member of the team must recognize when a concern is expressed by anyone and stop.
Take a moment to view the video provided by your instructor to learn some final lessons from nature on how teams make wise decisions in a culture of safety. This is Unit 5A. Slide 1. Welcome to Unit 5, HIT Design for Teamwork and Communication. The focus of the first unit is teamwork, communication, and care coordination. Slide 2. The objective for Unit 5A is to assess the impact of teamwork and communication on patient safety and care coordination. Effective teamwork and communication are absolutely critical for ensuring the safe and reliable delivery of healthcare. Healthcare is the product of many diverse disciplines that are united in a common purpose: to deliver healthcare that is safe, effective, timely, patient-centered, efficient, and equitable. To do so, they need to coordinate their efforts, to collaborate, and to communicate with each other. Unit 5B, Slide 1. Unit 5B, Slide 1. Unit 5B answers the question, can HIT hinder communication and care coordination? While the advent of electronic health records has improved communication in some respects, such as providing... Let me go back on this one. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Can I have a pencil? Because I'm going to keep reading this wrong stuff. That's great. Okay, 5B, slide 1. Unit 5B answers the question, can HIT hinder communication and care coordination? While the advent of electronic health records has improved communication in some respects, such as providing immediate access to patient information, for some clinicians, the EHR may actually pose a distraction during patient encounters. Furthermore, some providers may grow to rely on computerized information rather than actually speaking with patients and other clinicians. Slide 2. In the first unit, you saw a variety of ways in which HIT can facilitate communication. It's important that you, as future health information technology professionals, also understand that HIT can actually serve as a barrier to effective communication. This is Unit 5C, Slide 1. Unit 5C will discuss ways in which HIT supports care coordination. This is Unit 6A, Slide 2. After completing this unit, you will be able to define decision support, its importance to meaningful use, and the challenges associated with successful implementation of decision support tools. Slide 10. Clinical decision support systems that support efficient healthcare include rules that trigger alerts for high-cost drugs and suggest lower-cost alternatives, duplicate testing alerts, rules that help the provider to document information that supports appropriate medical coding, and rules that calculate risk and generate preventive recommendations. Slide 12. Researchers have looked at unintended consequences related to clinical decision support. These can be categorized into consequences related to content and presentation. There are three themes related to content. The first is elimination or changing of roles of clinicians and staff, especially clerical staff. For example, one potential error includes such things as... Slide 12. Researchers have looked at unintended consequences related to clinical decision support. These can be categorized into consequences related to content and presentation. There are three themes related to content. The first is elimination or changing of roles of clinicians and staff, especially clerical staff. For example, one case study noted that they underestimated the gatekeeper function of the clerical staff, who, in the paper world, questioned daily x-ray orders after a certain amount of time. But once they automated this function, chest ray orders went on ad infinitum. A second unintended consequence related to currency of clinical decision support content. For example, changes in coding for billing or compliance and difficulties updating order sets may cause problems. Another content-related consequence is wrong or misleading clinical decision support content. An example of this would be a clinical decision support rule that leads clinicians to order something that is not adequately stocked. Another example is when contradictory advice is offered by two separate clinical decision support rules. The second category of unintended consequences is presentation. This category includes rigidity of systems, alert fatigue, and other sources of potential error. For example, the way in which workflow is changed by the insertion of the computer into the clinical workspace represents a presentation consequence. Alert fatigue is so great a problem that we have devoted an entire unit to this issue. Other sources of potential error include such things as the autocomplete feature that may insert the wrong medication, or alerts that are seen when it's too late for action. Unit 6C, slide 2. After completing this unit, the learner should be able to analyze the benefits and shortfalls of alerts and clinical reminders. Unit 6D, slide 2. The objective of this unit is to investigate strategies for successful design and implementation of clinical decision support systems. That's it.
We're done.
I'm done.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.